This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.
Since the time Jesus Christ was born some 2,000 years ago, His name has become most prominent throughout the world. History has proved His popularity has grown over the centuries to the point His teachings now have attracted over 2 billion people from almost every culture. And during this time, over the years, so many made enormous sacrifices to maintain the lifestyle He portrayed. Yes, His teachings have affected the lives of billions, causing many to make dangerous and risky decisions. Why? Because He claimed He could promise them eternal life if they would just obey His teachings. But could this be true? Could He really provide eternal life? Was He really the Messiah He claimed to be? There are so many people today that cannot believe this. They ask, where's the proof? How can we prove this to be true and confirm He is indeed the Son of God? Well, interestingly enough, from the voices of the prophets hundreds of years before Christ was physically born, they portrayed and foretold He would come. Prophetic writings from these seers of old were fulfilled in extraordinary detail as proofs for future generations. So stay with us as we explore some of these writings that predicted His incarnation and written hundreds of years before He was born.
In times like these, we need the armor of God for the well-being of our families, to help you stand in the evil day. The Church of God International presents Armor of God, a program of biblical understanding. And now your host, Mike James.
Hi, welcome to another edition of the Armor of God. We're glad you could join us for today's program. The idea behind today's program came from a podcast that I was listening to, and the podcast was between a Karaite Jew and a Protestant minister. And what they were talking about in this podcast were prophecies pertaining to Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. And they were talking about the tension between Jews and Christians on how to interpret these Old Testament prophecies. So what I'm going to call today's program is Prophecies About Christ. And what we want to look at is why Jews and Christians look at these prophecies in different ways. Now, to give you an idea of what I'm talking about, I'm going to turn over to Psalm 22. And I'm going to read verse 1 of Psalm 22. And it will sound very familiar to both Jews and Christians alike out there. Here's what it says. My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? Now, how do Jews interpret this? Well, they believe that David wrote this psalm, and they believe there were many things in David's life that would have led him to make a statement like this to God. But interestingly enough, from a Christian perspective, if we were to turn over to Matthew chapter 27 and verse 46, we're going to read something very familiar there. Matthew 27, 46 says this, And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is to say, My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Quoting directly from what we read in Psalm 22, verse 1, that the Jews believe David uttered. Now, look at this. Let's go to verse 18 of Psalm 22. Here's what it says. They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. Now again, Jews going way back looked at David and some at Esther as possibly confirming this particular scripture we're reading about in Psalm 22. But notice once again what we read in Matthew chapter 27, and this time I'm going to look at verse 35. "And they crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, 'They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots.'" So here's the tension, here's the problem. Jews believe that this psalm is referring to incidents in the life of King David or Queen Esther. Christians are saying that this psalm relates to incidents in Jesus Christ's life. Who's right? We're going to look at that question today. Before we take a look, though, I'd like to offer you some free literature and also a free full-length sermon CD. The literature we'd like to offer you on today's program is titled Christ in the Old Testament. The famous eunuch from Ethiopia was reading from the scroll of Isaiah when Philip was sent to him. Within only a few hours, the eunuch asked to be baptized. He had learned about Christ from Philip's explanation of Isaiah's prophecies. How was this possible? Could the eunuch have received Christ as his Savior and been saved by grace through an understanding about what Isaiah wrote? Isn't the Old Testament done away? Is the knowledge necessary for salvation to be found in the Old Testament? Read in your Bible the astonishing truth. Also, order a full-length sermon CD that will expand upon the themes of today's program. Order, How Do We Know Old Testament Prophecies Pertain to Jesus? To get both of these items free of charge, all you need to do is call us toll-free at 1-888-578-8791. That's 1-888-578-8791. Or you can download that booklet and read it online or listen to that CD online at our web address. Go to www.cgi.org. That's www.cgi.org. Don't forget to go to that same website to learn more about our weekly sermon webcast. That's www.cgi.org. You can also download our CGI Digital Network app at any app store free of charge. Thanks once again for joining us on this edition of The Armor of God. Again, what we're talking about today are prophecies pertaining to Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. But there's a tension. There's a tension between how Jews interpret those prophecies and how Christians see those prophecies. Now, believe it or not, there are some 300 prophecies about Jesus Christ in your Old Testament. Jews would disagree with that, but Christians will tell you that there are some 300 or more prophecies pertaining to Jesus in the Old Testament. Now, before we get to this tension between Christians and Jews about how to interpret the Old Testament, let's talk about these prophecies for a moment. 300 prophecies written by different people at different times pertaining to the same individual in history? How is it possible that these people in different times and different places were able to write prophecies that pertain to the same man? There was some research done on this subject by an individual named Peter Stoner, and Mr. Stoner wrote a book with his colleague Robert Newman. The book is titled Science Speaks, and they looked at the chances of 8 prophecies, just 8, being written about the same man by individuals who wrote years and years before this man came on the earth. And here's what Stoner found. The chances of just 8 prophecies pertaining to Jesus Christ are 1 in 10^17 power possible. Now, what is the chance of something happening if it only has a chance of 1 in 10^17 power? Mr. Stoner addresses this in his book with an interesting thought experiment. He says, let's put silver dollars across the entire state of Texas, and then let's build up those silver dollars to 2 feet in depth. So you've got all these silver dollars laying on every inch of real estate on the state of Texas. Now, mark one of those silver dollars with a black magic marker, and then push all the silver dollars around, blindfold someone, put them in the middle of the state of Texas blindfolded, and ask them to find that one silver dollar. That's the odds of what 1 in 10^17 power is of happening. Not likely, right? Yet those prophecies did pertain to one man in history. For any of you that don't know this, I hope that has whetted your appetite to look further into the prophecies of Jesus Christ. But getting back to our main point on today's program, why this tension between Jews and Christians when it comes to interpreting these prophecies that we read about in the Old Testament? Well, the reason the Jews don't believe in these prophecies can be made perfectly clear by the example I'm going to show you right now. I'm going to read from the book of Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, and specifically Matthew chapter 2. And Matthew wrote about Jesus Christ, and this is what he says in Matthew chapter 2, beginning in verse 14. Matthew 2 and verse 14 says this: when he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt have I called my son. Now Matthew is saying a prophet said this, a prophet from the Old Testament, what the Jews call the Tanakh. A prophet said, out of Egypt I called my son. Now, what prophet said this? And this pertains to Jesus going to Egypt when Herod was out to kill him because he thought a new king was going to usurp his throne. Jesus and his father and mother fled to Egypt, and they came back after Herod had died. Now, here's the prophecy that Matthew alludes to in chapter 2 of Matthew. It's over in the book of Hosea, and Hosea is that prophet. But listen carefully to what Hosea says. He says this, Hosea 11, verse 1, when Israel was a child, then I loved him and called my son out of Egypt. Now let me just stop there. Do you understand why Jews don't believe this prophecy pertains to Jesus? Because Jews had this book long before Christians ever came on the scene. And what does it say? It says, when Israel was a child, then I loved him and called my son out of Egypt. Now, Jews go even further when they debate Christians on this point, and they say, look at verse 2. Verse 2 says, as they called them, so they went from them. They sacrificed unto Balaam and burned incense to graven images. And here's what a Jew would tell you. Jesus Christ did not burn to Balaam. Jesus Christ did not worship Balaam. This is talking about the nation of Israel. No doubt about it. I won't argue that. But here's my argument. Could this prophecy in Hosea have a dual meaning? And Jews know very well that when they interpret their scriptures, they often look at their prophecies with double meanings. It was an interesting podcast between the Karaite Jew and the Protestant minister, because the Karaite Jew at least agreed that Jews do look at many of their scriptures as having a dual meaning. Now, let's think about this a little bit further. Can we find evidence in the Bible that there is a duality to some prophecies? Yes, we can find that, and I'm going to get into that in a moment. But I also want to show you this fact, that some scriptures, some prophecies, only have one meaning. So we don't want to lose sight of that truth also. I'm going to cite 1 Kings chapter 13 to prove this point to you. 1 Kings chapter 13, beginning in verse 1. This is a prophecy written around 900 BC, and it pertains to King Josiah, who was going to come on the scene about 300 years later. Listen to what it says in 1 Kings 13, verse 1. "And behold, there came a man of God out of Judah by the word of the Lord unto Bethel, and Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense. And he cried against the altar in the word of the Lord and said, O altar, altar, thus saith the Lord, behold, a child shall be born unto the house of David, Josiah by name, and upon thee shall he offer the priests of the high places that burn incense upon thee, and men's bones shall be burnt upon thee. And he gave a sign the same day, saying, This is the sign which the Lord has spoken. Behold, the altar shall be rent, and the ashes that are upon it shall be poured out." So this prophecy made by this man of God is fulfilled in 2 Kings chapter 23. And I'm going to turn over there to read it to you, the fulfillment of this prophecy. 2 Kings 23, beginning in verse 15. "And she said unto them," or 2 Kings 23, 15, "Moreover, the altar that was at Bethel and the high place which Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin, had made, both that altar and the high place, he brake down and burned the high place and stamped it small to powder and burned the grove." That's verse 15. Now notice verse 16. What does it say? "And as Josiah turned himself, he spied the sepulchers that were there in the mount, and sent and took the bones out of the sepulchers and burned them upon the altar and polluted it, according to the word of the Lord, which the man of God proclaimed, who proclaimed these words." Then he said, "What title is that that I see?" And the men of the city told him, "It is the sepulchre of the man of God, which came from Judah and proclaimed these things that thou hast done against the altar of Bethel." So this is a word-for-word fulfillment, an exact fulfillment to the letter of what we read about in 1 Kings being fulfilled exactly in 2 Kings. Now, there are prophecies like that in your Bible. But there are also prophecies in your Bible, as Jews will admit, where there is a dual meaning. And I want to show you a little bit of evidence of that. Again, there are many examples I could cite, but let me just cite a very popular one. And you will find this if you read any commentaries on the Bible, that this is extensively discussed. It's found over in Matthew chapter 24, and I'm going to begin reading there in verse 1. It says, "And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to shew him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. So Jesus is talking about the temple as it existed in Jerusalem 2,000 years ago. And he says this temple is going to be thrown down. Now notice what the disciples say to him in verse 3. When they hear this, they immediately think of what? Notice verse 3. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, "Tell us, when shall these things be? When is the temple going to be destroyed, in other words? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world?" So when Jesus talked about the temple being destroyed, they thought immediately, that's going to be the end of this age. But Jesus wasn't just talking about the end of the age and his second coming. He was also talking about 70 AD when that temple would be destroyed by the Romans. And as you go on in Matthew 24 and read the whole chapter, there are verses in there that no doubt are speaking about the temple in 70 AD. But there are also verses in there where it is no doubt they are speaking about the second coming of Jesus. And that leads to the possibility of another temple being in Jerusalem being torn down, just as Jesus is describing here. The commentators agree with what I'm telling you. They will tell you that there is a dual meaning within this chapter of Matthew 24, and many other prophecies in your Bible have a meaning at the time that the prophet was proclaiming whatever it is they were proclaiming, and many of those prophecies have an application to the time of the second coming of Jesus Christ. Now, having said all of that, I'd like you to turn with me to the book of Matthew. Let's take a look once again in the book of Matthew. We're spending a lot of time there today, but there's something that occurs here in the book of Matthew that gets at the question I want to try to answer today. How do we know for sure that these Old Testament prophecies pertain to Jesus? Now, that CD I mentioned gets into it in detail, and I'm going to offer that a little bit later. But here's another hint. Over in Matthew chapter 16, we read this interesting exchange between Jesus and Peter. Matthew chapter 16, beginning in verse 15. "He saith unto them, But whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Now, listen to what Jesus says. Listen to Jesus' answer to Peter. "And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." Now, this gets at the root of what I expand upon in that CD sermon, that Christians know these prophecies pertain to Jesus because we have God's Holy Spirit informing us what these scriptures are saying about Jesus Christ. I developed that idea in the CD. But notice another scripture along these same lines. In John chapter 6, and verse 44, we read the following. John 6 and verse 44 says this, "No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day." Now, I believe Jews will have an opportunity, but it isn't their time right now, unless you're a Messianic Jew and do believe in Christ. But get this scripture that brings home my point. It's over in Romans 11 and verse 25. And I expand upon this in that CD I'm going to offer one more time. Romans 11 and verse 25 says this, For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. Now, what this scripture is pertaining to is that for a period of time, Jews are going to be blinded to the fact of who Jesus Christ was. But as the prophets say, there will come a time when all of Israel will learn about God, and I believe most of them will take that training in the future. So there's a lot more to be said on this very interesting subject. I want you to get that booklet and that CD, which can tell you so much more about this tension that we find between how Jews interpret Old Testament prophecies and how Christians interpret those very same Old Testament prophecies. There's no doubt that both Jews and Christians will agree that there is a duality when you understand some of the scriptures in the Bible, the Word of God. Now, getting back to that booklet and CD that I mentioned a bit earlier, I want to offer them once again. We want you to get the booklet, Christ in the Old Testament. Again, the famous eunuch from Ethiopia was reading from the scroll of Isaiah when Philip was sent to him. Within only a few hours, the eunuch asked to be baptized. Why? Because in the scroll of Isaiah, there was information about Jesus Christ. Get this booklet, Christ in the Old Testament. Get the full-length sermon CD where I get expansive about how we know that prophecies in the Old Testament pertain to Jesus. The title of that CD is How Do We Know Old Testament Prophecies Pertain to Jesus. To get both these items free of charge, you can call us toll-free at 1-888-578-8791. That's 1-888-578-8791. Or visit our website to order. Go to www.cgi.org. That's www.cgi.org. When you go to the website, you can also download the literature and booklet right from the website or listen to the CD right from the website, www.cgi.org. Thanks again for joining us on another edition of The Armor of God. So long for now.
Armor of God and the free material offered is brought to you by The Church of God International of Tyler, Texas. You may write to us at 3900 Thames Street, Tyler, Texas, 75701, or call toll-free at 1-888-578-8791, or call 1-903-939-2929 during regular business hours. You may visit our website at www.cgi.org or email us at armorofgodcgi.org. We appreciate your prayers and support.
This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.